Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name and good evening. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Kazris, and I'm honored and I have the pleasure of being on this platform one more time. I don't take it lightly. Gatekeepers Ministry International Podcast. I'm just grateful to God that he has really put the excitement on the inside of me to start out this year with worship and with our prophet friend that comes on every year for the last 4 or 5 years with to introduce to us a new book. And I think it was more than appropriate to sound the shofar. I don't know if you're familiar with the shofar, but the sound of the shofar gets the attention of all of heaven. And I believe when the prophet is about to speak that the body of Christ has to get the attention of the prophet. And I just believe that this broadcast is going out to so many nations and countries around the world, and I'm going to give them a shout out in a minute, that the shofar speaks a lot for what we're doing here tonight. It just broadcasts to the heavenlies, the first and second heavens, to get out the way anything that's not like God. And it broadcasts to the third heaven that we are about to storm the frequencies and the airwaves with prophetic word and a prophetic book for 2023. And oh, how grateful I am to see this new year come in and to say, see ya, bye-bye to the last year that I got through with only the power of the Holy Ghost, my Lord Jesus. And it went by so fast, it's unbelievable. I traveled to 6 nations in 2021, and I got in my bucket list nation of Dubai in July of 2022, and I needed that. God has so blessed me to travel other nations that I haven't been to and share my book and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, even in Muslim countries. It's an honor. You know, whatever, wherever our feet tread, you know, we take the Holy Spirit with us. And so I don't take it lightly that the Lord allowed me to walk on Muslim territory for 8 days. I just give him honor and glory. And I definitely did some talking about Jesus while I was there. But I thank God for tonight's broadcast. I thank you for calling in. I thank you for streaming in. And you won't be disappointed. Right now, I want to just give a shout out to the nations that have been hanging in there with me for years. God told me some years ago that he was going to take this broadcast globally, internationally. And I didn't know how that was going to be done, but I believed him and he has. So I just want to give a shout out to Denmark and Portugal, Lithuania, Iraq, Cameroon and Austria, Poland, Ukraine, Romania, Bulgaria, Libya, Papua New Guinea, Mozambique, Uganda, Ethiopia, Zimbabwe, Spain, Myanmar, Burma, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Italy, Angola, China, Mexico, Mongolia, Brazil, Peru. I want to give a shout out to these nations and apply the blood of Jesus to them with any corruption that's going on them. There's so much going on in our nation, but there's so much going on in these nations that don't know Christ. Australia, the United States of America, Bangladesh, Germany, Togo, France, Netherlands, Tobago, Norway, Ireland, South Korea, Trinidad, Ghana, Israel, London, the UK, Sweden, Republic of Serbia, Vietnam. I bless the name of the Lord for drawing you by the Holy Spirit to even come on demand and listen to our broadcast. It just humbles me so. I'm so blessed that people from these other nations take the time to tune in and hear the word of the Lord. Sweden and Egypt and Canada and South Africa, Tanzania, Dubai, Pakistan, Belgium, Kenya, South Africa, the Philippines, India, Greece, Croatia, New Zealand and Nigeria, Belgium, Malaysia, Argentina and Russia, Somalia, Namibia, Jamaica, Ivory Coast, Japan, Barbados, Nicaragua, Venezuela, Turkey, and Slovakia. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you. And I don't take it lightly as the CEO and founder of this ministry that God has drawn you to this ministry on demand and that you take the time to listen to those that have studied and have walked with God and are being used by God in Gatekeepers Ministry International. So I'm blessed. I'm honored. I appreciate you calling in and streaming in. I want you to know that we'll probably be on the air maybe an hour and a half. And I want to open the lines for you to talk to Pastor Prophet Bill, who has authored this book. And if there's something that you want to comment on or ask a question during the interview, all you have to do is press 1. If you're streaming in, you have to dial in 929-477-2442 in order to talk to us, in order to ask a question or talk to Pastor Bill. So that means you're going to have to come offline and dial from your cell phone or your landline, 929-477-2442, press 1, and I will be able to let you speak. I'll open your line, and you can talk to Prophet Bill. There's so much wealth in this book, so much. And I had just been gleaning in it every day at work, every chance I got to get to look through it and just see what God is speaking to us in 2023. I want to read a prophecy right now. I want this prophecy to penetrate the atmosphere where you live. the community where you live. I want it to penetrate the airwaves and the frequencies, the first and second heaven. So I want you to listen up. And also, within the next 15 to 20 minutes after the broadcast ends, the broadcast goes on demand. So you can always go to the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry and listen to the broadcast again and listen to this powerful prophecy. This is a prophetic word for 2023. My sheep have gone astray and sought their own way. They have rebelled against my word and have desired their own will. They have been drawn away at their own lust, by their own lust, and been enticed to believe the lies of the devil. They have gotten so many things out of order that they no longer prioritize me as their shepherd. You do not know me as your shepherd, and sadly, you do not even want me as your shepherd. I am supposed to be first, but many times I do not even get your leftovers. You falsely honor me with your mouth, but your heart proves you are far from me. The results are obvious because there is death in your streets, chaos in your homes, divorce in your marriages, upheaval among your children, division among the people, corruption in your politics, wars in the world, and compromise in the church. Evil is everywhere, and the innocent are being destroyed. Prophecy is coming to pass before your eyes, yet you ignore what is going on because you have been desensitized by the media. You have sought what you want and what you think is best for yourselves over God's perfect plans for your life. You have sought to build your kingdom and not my kingdom. You have waxed worse than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah in that you have excused away sin by relationalizing it with the world's philosophy. You have accepted and unaccepted and tolerated. You have accepted the unacceptable and tolerated the intolerable. You have gradually allowed a transfer of power to take place in your hearts. It is no longer I that rule, but the flesh that has taken the reins of power and controls your life. You have very little respect or fear of God in your hearts. I am tired of the rejection from my people. It is I who have given you life and breath. When you are disconnected from your life source, you die, although you may think you are living. If a fish needs water and the tree needs the soil to survive, then you need me in order to have life. I am calling all my people to return to me and allow me to be your shepherd in 2023. No matter what you have done or how bad it has been, I am offering you a place of refuge. I am offering you a home. I am offering you love, forgiveness, and hope. I am offering you your destiny. I want to be your shepherd. As your shepherd, I will protect and guard. As your shepherd, I will guide and provide. As your shepherd, I will care for you and love you. However, as your shepherd, I will correct and discipline. I will use the rod of my word to lead you into righteousness and bring about some changes that will improve your current lives. It will not be easy and will require humility on your behalf. Your hearts must soften and trust is needed in order to ensure success. You cannot be stubborn and stiff-necked. allow me to lead you as your shepherd, so nothing will be for want in your life. I will help you find a place of rest where you will lack nothing. As you seek me with your whole heart and put me first, I will give you the desire of your heart. I will not let you drown or fail you. As parents protect and provide for their children, you can be certain I will do even more for you than the very best of natural parents. The decision is yours, but I will not always come knocking and seeking your repentant return. Sooner or later, I will take you at your word and get the point that I am not welcome in your lives if you continue to reject me. My grace is long-lasting, but my soon return is at hand. Time is short, and the decision is yours. Take advantage of this moment. Take advantage of this opportunity. Opportunities do not last. They come and they go. Come unto me and allow me to be a shepherd to my sheep. Return to me in 2023. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. We humble ourselves before you, and we thank you, and we give you praise. Adonai Elohim, in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, we lift you up and we honor you. We magnify your holy name. We thank you for this announcement tonight of how you feel about what the church thinks, feels, and is doing and is not doing. We ask that you would forgive us for our sins. Wash us in your precious blood, Lord God, and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, we turn to you as our shepherd for 2023. And we rededicate our lives to you right now. And we ask God for your continued mercy and your grace, your leading and your guidance. We thank you for this night, Lord God, that we can come before you as your children. Lord, to light in us, Lord God, a greater fire, that we will be on fire for you, Jesus, our first love. We ask, God, that you would bless Pastor Bill, Lord God. We thank you for giving him the wisdom to write this book. We thank you, Lord, for the man of God that he is. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless him as pastor, bless him as husband, bless him as a father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to use him for your glory and your honor. Lord, we lift up this broadcast and all listeners that have streamed in or dialed in. And we ask, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds, Lord God, and receive from you. Receive from you, Holy Spirit, pour into us this evening. Let your word go forth with power. Anoint this interview. Lord, give us questions and comments for Pastor Bill. And we thank you for this book that your hand is on. And we ask, God, that this broadcast would encourage somebody, lift them up. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, that truly was a prophecy. And I am going to introduce my friend, Pastor Bill, properly, letting you know a little bit about him. Pastor Bill Jenkins is an apostle of God with a prophetic voice who works to release a message of hope in our world. After giving up the opportunity to pursue a baseball career, Pastor Bill attended Christ for the Nations and accepted his calling from God. He now has over 30 years of full-time ministry in churches across the nation.
Oh, put that down to go. Hold it. Sorry.
With deep spiritual revelation and insight from God's word, he takes the toughest of passages of scripture and explains them in a practical and applicable way. Pastor Bill is the go-to guy when it comes to understanding the spiritual significance of numbers, places, colors, and names found in the Bible. Pastor Bill is the senior pastor of Destiny Christian Center, an author, a radio host, a husband, and a father of three boys. His heart and passion is for others to become successful as they apply the principles of Christ in their lives. Praise God. I have opened your mic, Pastor Bill. Welcome to Gatekeepers Ministry Podcast. It's an honor to have you on, sir.
Well, thank you so much, and I always love being with you. You have such a wonderful heart, and always enjoy the time we have together, and believe in God for just the Holy Spirit to move upon this time tonight in a wonderful way.
Well, I started diving in your book as soon as I got it, and there was something that I highlighted in the book even before I got into chapter one. It says, come dive into the deep end of the pool with me and truly see how wonderful it is to receive revelation from God that is available to all, but experienced by only a few. Allow the Lord to show you what to expect from him and what is expected of you in 2023. Serving God can be fun, and his goal is to set you free to be all that you could be in 2023. I think that was powerful. That even encouraged me, and I got excited about that just reading that even before I got into the book. So I am very excited about Psalm 23 because, you know, I think in most homes, now I was raised a Catholic and I grew up in the Catholic school in the Catholic church, and Psalm 23, I don't think I learned that in the Catholic church. I think I learned that in my family. All different denominations were in my family, and Psalm 23 just flows as we grew up as kids, came from some folks in my family, my mom, my grandmother, and all her siblings, which were many. And I'm excited because Psalm 23 is highlighted in the book. You share that the word shepherd is the word for 2023, and the animal sheep is the highlighted animal for 2023. Can you share with us why you feel that way?
Yeah, one of the reasons I even write the book, and I've been doing this for, you know, many years now, is to really release a vision into people's lives. And so, you know, the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 says, write the vision, make it clear so that they that read it can run with it. Well, I just take that literally. So I write a book every year. And Psalm 23 fits in because it's 2023. And so one of the ways we help to discover the plan of God for this year is by looking at every book of the Bible that has a chapter 23 in it. Now, you know there's 66 books, but only 20 of them have a 23rd chapter in them. Psalm obviously is the longest one. Psalm 23 is the most famous of those psalms. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I love that because he wrote it from his experience. Think about it. His job was a shepherd. So he knew what it was like to take care of the sheep. And one of the things I've really been focusing in on in the church, in Deathland Christian Center this year, is that if you're going to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. Too many times people think they can lead, but they never learned how to properly follow. And so what we're teaching people is how to be better followers so that you can be better leaders. David understood the role of a shepherd because he was a shepherd. He was out there in the field. No one else in his family wanted to go out there. He was the youngest, so he was sent out there. But when a lion and a bear came to attack the sheep, he defended them. And so this is the year of the shepherd. One of the main things that we focus in on the book is how, you know, the Lord is our shepherd. We are sheep. We need the guidance from our shepherd because sheep are not the smartest of animals. You know, if you really look at sheep and you look at some of the characteristics, they're timid, they're indecisive, you know, they're emotional, they're passive, irresponsible, they're wanderers, they can be unclean, stubborn, lazy, sound like church people, right? And so, you know, we need to have a shepherd to lead and to guide us. And so, you know, God is that shepherd. We're reading John chapter 10. The Bible talks about how Jesus is the good shepherd who loves the sheep and understands the sheep and leads the sheep and directs the sheep and shears the sheep. So we read about in Psalm 23, because when we really make God our shepherd, and that's really the whole emphasis of what we need to do this year, let God lead. He don't need a co-pilot. He doesn't need a backseat driver. God's perfectly fine. He did fine without us. He'll do fine after us. Let him be the leader of our life. And when we do that, according to Psalm 23, think about it. We won't rest. We won't have we won't have to lack rest. We won't have to lack peace. We won't have to lack restoration or guidance or courage. That's what Psalm 23 tells us, that he'll be there to comfort us. He'll be there to be our companion. He'll be there to protect us. He'll be there to provide the power. He'll be there to provide the abundance we need. And he'll be there to always make sure that his presence is there. He'll never leave us and never forsake us. And so it's all there in Psalm 23. It's such a great psalm. We talk about it at weddings and funerals, and it's really something that I think we need to emphasize, and that we need to let the Lord lead, guide, and direct us here in 2023.
Well, I'm reading where you say in the book, feed the sheep, lead the sheep, and defend the sheep. I remember growing up when I first got saved in the church in Philly, and I got saved under a female pastor in New Jersey. And then New Jersey got too far for us to go and take the kids, my cousin and I, so we found a church in Philadelphia. And I'm telling you, those pastors were assigned to us. You know, and they fed us, they led us, and they defended us. You could not come to any one of those pastors in that church with anything about their sheep that they would tolerate. It was just like you say, feed the sheep. We got fed, we got led, and we got defended. And that's how Jesus is. He says, I am a defender of the weak. And it's just the characteristics and the integrity of the pastors that I had growing up in the church when I got saved, they were just spot on. I mean, if anybody was assigned to me by God, it was them. And you tell more characteristics of shepherds about loving the sheep and understanding us. And they lead us to fresh water. They direct sheep to greener grass and shear us, like you said. So this is all covered, like you said, in Psalm 23. And I know that all our listeners are very much familiar with Psalm 23. I mean, we can all lay down in the bed at night and just say it by heart. And there are negative things about sheep, being foolish and slow learners, stubborn and curious and restless and dirty. Oh, yeah. That's how we come to Christ, with all our dirt and flaws, and it takes, we can get clean through the blood of Jesus, correct, Pastor? But we still have flaws that we got to come through.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, as Christians, we're never supposed to be perfect. Now, it's something for us to aim for, and I know people will say, well, perfection is in the Bible, but that word perfection is about maturity. It's not about never making a mistake. Christianity is about progression. It's never about perfection. And if you think that you're going to get to some point or make it to some pinnacle where you're never going to sin, you're never, you know, going to need the Lord again, you're wrong. You're always going to need the Lord. You always got to be yielded to him and allow him to lead, guide, and direct you. And so the Bible says that line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, we grow in our walk with the Lord. And that's what we need to really focus in on in 2023. We need God to be we need him to lead and guide and to direct us. We need him to, you know, shear us so that, you know, we can be clean and we can, you know, be in his perfect will. And that's really the main thing. You know, we talk about the bad characteristics of sheep, but what about the good ones? You know, they are loving and they are, you know, trusting and they love to be directed.
Yeah.
Really, you know, think about it. Hopefully we meet these positive characteristics. I know many of us meet the negative ones, but are we patient? Are we gentle? Are we loving? One thing about sheep that I love is they'll eat as much as the shepherd will give them. They never miss the feeding time. Think about that. Sheep will eat until the shepherd stops feeding them. Too many times we put God on a time clock. We put him on a watch. We say, well, God, you got 30 minutes, and you better hurry up. We're trying to find time, ways to shorten our service, to get people out of church, when really, you know, true sheep are like, feed me. I want more. I will eat until you stop giving me food. And so
Amen.
I pray that
we
have that passionate desire, that we passionately pursue God. We are designed to be connected to the Lord. If a tree needs the ground, if a fish need water, we came from God, we're going to need God. And we're going to need him more in 2023. And that's why we really got to be connected to him, close that gap, minimize that distance, go after the Lord with our whole heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else is going to take care of itself. So when we put the Lord at the center of our life, where everything else revolves around him, then we're going to be fine. Kingdom vision will produce kingdom provision. So if you want the kind of provision that God can give you, have kingdom vision, and God will provide for you any and everything that you've ever thought about needed and more.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Matthew 18:10-14 is about the lost sheep. And in your book, it says the parable of the lost sheep is the Bible story of this year. Why is that?
Because I think, you know, we forget that, you know, Jesus left the 99 to go after the one. This is the year when maybe there have been some people who have been hurt by church, hurt by a pastor. Maybe it's legitimate or illegitimate. Doesn't really matter. If they're in church, if they're not connected to the Lord, then we need to be sort of that bridge that gets them from where they're at to where God wants them to be. So when I say return, you know, you read that prophecy so beautiful. I didn't even think, you know, I'm like, man, I when you're reading it, I'm thinking God had given me that in the middle of the night. I'm typing it on my phone, not trying to wake my wife up. The Lord has given it to me. And at the end it said, return to me. And that's what God is saying. Return to me. Come home. It's time to come back. And if people have been hurt by church, if they're out, if they serve the Lord but have backslidden, if they never really got totally connected into living for the Lord, then this is the year for them to come back. And so he's going to leave the 99. You and I need to do our part to reach out. I love the fact that you're going around the world, you're ministering, you're doing all these things. And the whole purpose is to what? Bring people back to the Lord, to shed the light on the fact that we are nothing without the Lord. We are nothing without Jesus being our shepherd in our lives. And so, you know, this is the year when I think, you know, whether it's family member or friend, whether it's some kind of distant relative or maybe just somebody we meet at the store, it's our year to open up. Never be afraid. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Share the truth of the Lord, and you might be surprised at the response you get from people as you go after some of the lost sheep the way Jesus goes after the lost sheep. And so he set the example for us. We're to be the followers. Let's go after them. Let's not be intimidated. Let's not think negatively like they're going to reject us. And who cares? If they reject us because we're telling them about the Lord, they're really rejecting the Lord and not us. So, you know, let's pull up our bootstraps a little bit, not worried about us getting so offended, and go out there and share the gospel, tell people who the Lord is. Many people already know, but they've turned their back on God. They've turned their back on the church. And many times it isn't even because of God. It's because of his children. So let's go out there. Let's do our best to share the gospel, spread the love and the light of God, be the salt and the light that we have been designed to be, and get people back in church here in 2023.
Okay. I have a caller that wants to ask a question. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. The last four digits of your number, caller, is 6890. I'm trying to get your line open. Here it is. May I have your first name?
Patricia.
Patricia. Okay, do you have a comment or a question for Pastor Bill?
Yeah, I have a comment. The comment is, I was just listening to this pastor before I called you on, and this pastor was on the thing preaching how like all of us have faults in while we are Christians, and I might see your fault, but you see mine, okay? So we as sheep don't need to point our finger at each other. I think we need to get whatever we see about a person, we need to get together and pray for them. Because a lot of times people talk about one sin, and no sin is greater than the next sin, than what the man was saying on the thing when I was listening to. You may be doing a certain sin, but maybe you may be doing a certain sin in the closet where nobody can't see you, and it's still sin. And I think as the body of Christ, get to praying and do what we supposed to do, we'll see a lot of miracles and signs.
And absolutely. I mean, even last night I preached on Matthew 23, where Jesus corrected the Pharisees because they were very good at pointing out the faults of others, but they weren't so good at seeing the flaws in themselves. And so 2023 has to be a year where we quit pointing the finger at people and draw a circle around ourselves and let God start with us. And we, as children of the Lord, we can't be so, you know, judgmental. Like you said, they're, you know, all sin. You know, there's different consequences for sin, but it takes you to the same place. There's not a hell for the liars and a hell for the adulterers and a hell for the prideful. There's one hell. And so let's get back to loving people. We are supposed to, according to the Bible, we're supposed to go out there and catch the fish. But Jesus is to clean them up. The problem with the Pharisees is they wanted to not only catch them, they wanted to clean them. And the Bible said, Jesus declared, that when they did that, they ended up making people twice as much a child of hell as they were, because they're making disciples after themselves and not making disciples after Christ. So absolutely, we've got to be people, especially here in 2023, don't point the finger, we draw the circle, we let things begin with us. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. It begins in our hearts. So let the Lord begin to clean up some things in us. All of us have more things we could deal with in our own life. We shouldn't have time to worry about everybody else. So, you know, quit worrying about the speck in everybody else's eye and get the 2x4 out of your own eye, and you're going to be much better here in 2023.
Praise God. That was an excellent comment, Patricia. Thank you. In Exodus 23, in chapter 4 in Exodus 23, you point out honesty is the best policy. And that is certainly a common phrase that people say all the time. And so can you elaborate on that? She was just talking about, you know, someone's sin or someone, she said flaw, you know, there's flaws that aren't sin, but there's sin is sin. So you talk about the 14 ways to display honesty. And I think that this is kind of along the lines. I mean, I just don't think in my walk with the Lord for 40-some years that I've come across a lot of honest people. I just don't feel like that.
Yeah, and I tell you, I you know, to me, my biggest pet peeve is somebody who doesn't tell the truth, somebody who's dishonest, somebody who lies. You know, I know all sin is the same, but to me as a person, me as a man, I just can't take it when people lie. Because liars are people who lie about things they don't even need to lie about. And it's just ridiculous to me the damage that can be done by lies, and yet people still continue to spread it. By the way, I got a book coming out in March that is called The Lies About the Truth and the Truth About Lies. So this really hits me here in Exodus 23, because what Moses is doing is he's really giving us some behaviors that we need to exhibit in our daily life. And so he tells us, if you're an honest person, you're not going to be gossiping, slandering, you're not going to be influenced by people, you're going to care more about what God thinks than what, you know, other people think, you're not going to agree with the wicked and the wrong people. Don't be afraid to stand up. We talk about silence being golden. That's ridiculous. That's not a scripture. That is a wrong saying. Silence is not always golden. We need to speak up and speak out. And so in Exodus 23, Moses is really laying out for everybody what honest people are all about. They're direct. They're simple. They're innocent. They're uncomplicated. Think about that. If you're an honest person, you don't want to complicate your life. You want to uncomplicate your life.
Yeah.
And so Moses, you know, he's telling us, you know, we're not to accept bribes. We don't ignore other people's losses. When you're honest, don't ignore it. Go out there and help. We're to reach down and to help people who are, you know, not in the best place in their life. And so there's so many things that Moses lays out. The whole chapter in Exodus 23 is about ways that we can be honest people. And honesty is the best policy. Don't try to, you know, share a half-truth, because a half-truth is a whole lie. Don't go out there and just, you know, give some, you know, wickedly raunchy lie that everybody knows that isn't the truth, and think that we're supposed to feel good about that. Be honest people in 2023. And I think that starts with us having integrity in our heart. When we are full of integrity, when we care more about what God thinks than what man thinks, we're going to quit trying to impress people, and we're going to start trying to impress God. So honesty is always the best policy. It's not a new saying, but it's something that we really need to apply to our life in 2023, because everything we do, everything we say, everything we listen to, everything that comes out of our mouth, everything that we participate in needs to revolve around honesty, because God is the truth. It's the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God that sets us free. You can't be free unless you have the truth of the Word of God in your life. So freedom comes through the truth that God can provide. I tell people this, you know, facts will mess you up. Some truth will mess you up. If I go to the doctor and the doctor tells me I got cancer and I got 3 weeks to live, that truth doesn't set me free. But it's the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God that sets me free. So God's truth always supersedes natural truth. So when you apply God's truth to any, you know, natural truth, God is going to give us the victory in our life when we walk in the truth that we find in the Word of God.
Amen. So this is the part that I really wanted to dissect a little bit, the Bible characters of the year. So the woman Jezebel, why is she a Bible character of 2023?
Because when you look in the Bible, you're going to see that a lot of the characteristics for 2023 that God is telling us to have or not to have are really sort of the things that she had in her life. Think about her husband. The crazy thing about Jezebel and Ahab is that Ahab actually woke up at the end of his life and gave his life to the Lord and reconciled with God. Jezebel was eaten by dogs. And we don't need somebody to sort of step in like Jezebel did and to try to fix everything in our life. And I don't care if it's a spouse or a friend or a relative or a mom or a dad or anybody. We need to allow the Lord to lead and guide us. And that's really was Jezebel's problem. She stepped in, went to her husband Ahab. He was a crybaby, didn't want to stand up for what he needed to stand up to. And so Jezebel said, well, baby, you just sit here. You just watch the football game and drink a Pepsi, and I'll take care of it for you. Well, she did, but it wasn't the right way. And so too many times we allow people to interfere and to sort of intercede in ways that they shouldn't be involved in our lives. And we got to let the Lord take control. Some of the things we go through, we're going to have to accept there's a process. So if you have a problem, before you get to the promise, you're going to have to go through the process. Part of that process is where God changes us, develops us, works things out in our life. A lot of times we're going to accelerate ourselves in a problem that we have when we really hit the accelerator of faithfulness and we stay connected to the Lord and we accept the fact that there is a process. You don't think that God couldn't solve your problem right now. You don't think that God couldn't heal your disease right now. You don't think God could fix that problem you have right now. Sure, he could. But there's a reason why you're going through some of these things. And the quicker you learn, the quicker you're going to get through these areas. And the longer it takes for you to get the point that God's trying to teach you, then the longer it's going to take to get through the process to go from the problem to the promise. And Jezebel sort of tried to naturally accelerate that, and it just didn't work. It caused more trouble. And so when we talk about Jezebel, it's good for the women to understand that, you know, you're not designed to be the fixer of every problem. Neither is the man. Let God fix your problems, because when you fix it, you're going to bandage it up. You're not going to bring, you know, eternal relief. You're going to bring temporal relief. So for the women, you really have to focus it on Jezebel, to not get involved in areas you shouldn't get involved in. Trust the Lord. Let God take care of it. Many women I know, like my mom, was a single mom who had to raise me. She was a great mom. She had to be stronger than what, you know, she should have been at that time. But we got to let God sort of intercede. We got to let God get involved. We got to let God take charge and not try to help God out, because he doesn't need our help.
Excellent. That's the best dissection of Jezebel that I've heard in a long time, that women need not to do. Because most of the time when people talk about Jezebel, it's the spirit of Jezebel that a man can have or a woman. It's a controlling spirit. It's a manipulating spirit. This is that was an excellent way of sharing that as a Bible character for this year. What about the men? Jonathan, you say, is a Bible character for this year.
Yeah, well, one of the stories in the Bible is where Saul tried to get his son Jonathan to turn on David after they made a commitment to one another. David and Jonathan were close friends. They were, you know, bound together by a covenant of the Lord. It was greater than just some natural friendship. It was a kindred spirit that they have. Think about it. There's two kinds of spirit. You either connected somebody with a familiar spirit where you connect on an evil level, or you connect on a kindred spirit where you connect on a supernatural spiritual level. Well, David and Jonathan connected on that supernatural spiritual level to the point where even Jonathan chose David over his own father. Now, Jonathan recognized the heart of David, and he recognized the heart of Saul. He was smart enough to discern that, you know, although his father was Saul, David was somebody who had more integrity in his life. And so there's a great story in the Bible, and one of the 23s that you'll find when you get the book, that talks about how David was a little concerned, you know, when Saul wanted David to come back. And so David said to Jonathan, hey, go check out, go fill your dad out. Go see if he just wants me to come back to be a genuine part of the kingdom, or if he just wants me to come back so it's an easy way to kill me. And so it's a beautiful story in the Bible of how we need to be covenant-minded people. We need to be careful that, you know, we don't destroy or allow division to come into relationships that are God sent. The Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John was a God sent. We have God sends into our life. Sometimes, like John the Baptist, we don't like our God sends. We don't like what they eat. We don't like what they smell like. We don't like what they say. John the Baptist's message was what? Turn or burn. That's it. And he did it in the middle of the wilderness. Everybody didn't like him. But if you rejected him, you rejected your godsend. So in 2023, we have to be very careful. And the men have to do this, because sometimes men have this, you know, sort of attitude where, you know, well, I don't need anybody in my life. You know, if somebody hurts me, I'll just, you know, not even be bothered by it. I'll just get them out of my life, you know, and they don't understand the importance of relationship. So this is a year when you have to understand as a man, God has brought people into your life. Embrace those people. Don't reject those people. And understand that, you know, we need to make covenant with people and then keep that covenant. Keep that vow. I always tell people everybody needs a, we need a Paul. We need a Barnabas and we need a Timothy. A Paul is like a spiritual father. You only have one spiritual father. Then we have a Barnabas who is side by side, you know, and they work with us. You know, to build the kingdom of God. Everybody needs a co-partner in the world that we live in today. And then they need a Timothy, somebody that they can help. So a Paul helps them, a Barnabas works together with them, and then a Timothy is somebody that they help. So when we have a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy in our life, we're setting ourselves up for success. And David and Jonathan sort of set that pattern in the Old Testament. And it's something that we really need to study out. So I encourage, I encourage the men to really study Jonathan, because there's very few people that was as faithful to a man, to a leader, as Jonathan was to David. And we need to have that back in our church and back in our world, where we are loyal and faithful when it comes to our relationships.
Okay, so the last character has to do with youth, and I know that I wanted to talk a little bit about youth anyway, something that I read in your book, because I am familiar with some of the callers, and they have young people in their house. So why Solomon as a youth?
Well, Solomon was the wisest, you know, man in the universe, and yet he was still sort of drawn away from his own lust and enticed. We give the three G's, gold, glory, and girls. So, you know, if you're a girl, then it's guys. But it's always gold, glory, and guys or girls that get us. The three G's that knock us down. Solomon had a problem. He's the wisest person who ever lived, yet he struggled with things. And so when we look at our young people, we need to really encourage our young people to make sure they avoid. I heard Kevin Hart the other day was doing an interview, and he said the greatest drug, the greatest addiction, is not the drugs and the alcohol. It's really sort of that enticement of fame, where you feel empowered when you get famous. And so a lot of our kids, because of social media and all this stuff that goes on every single day in our world, you know, they're looking to be famous. But we need to understand faithfulness is more important than being famous. And one of the people, Solomon, he is such a great example for our kids, because he was a young man who did great things at an early age, yet he was still, attacked by the enemy. His flesh was attacked, and our kids are going to be attacked like never before. Our young people are going to be attacked like never before. And so it's important to study Solomon. He made great decisions that really benefited him in a great way. But yet he was still struggling with some of the things in his life that our young people struggle with today. And we need to pray for our young people. We need to believe God for a revival among our young people. And I'm believing that 2023 is that year where the Lord hits us not just as parents, but hits our children. He releases revival in our universe, where everybody returns back to God, and we feel and we sense the power of God in our homes like never before. And our young people need the Lord. Our schools need the Lord. We tell people, you know, when that player for the Buffalo Bills a few weeks ago, when he passed out and really died on the field, everybody talked about what? Prayer. Well, we've been trying to get prayer out of our schools. Now our people who aren't even living for the Lord are telling, pray for this, pray for that. And what did God do? He brought forth and manifested a miracle, brought somebody who was dead back to life. If God can do it for him on a ball field, God can do it for you in your heart and in your life and in your home and in your churches. And so Solomon's such a great example of a man who was super wise, but he made some foolish decisions. Yes, he made great decisions that set him up for success, but he did some things that he really shouldn't have done. And so the young people, really, it's incumbent upon them to really study Solomon. Look at the struggles that he had. Just because we serve the Lord doesn't mean we're going to have a Disneyland, perfect, rosy kind of a life. We're going to have struggles, and we've got to make decisions We got to say yes to the things God wants us to say yes to and no to the things God wants us to say no to if we're really going to be winners in this world in 2023.
In chapter 4, you have from Genesis 23 about the changing of the guard. And you kind of spell out things about Sarah's death. And you said her death represents a changing of the guard or a passing of the torch to the next generation. Why don't you tell us about that?
It's a great story in the Bible. I encourage people to read it. Here, you know, we have Abraham who lost his wife. And what does he do? He goes to Canaan land. He goes to the future promised land. And he tries and he succeeds in buying a plot of land to bury his wife Sarah in the promised land, in Canaan land, before it was Canaan land. So that's such an awesome story because you see that the old is, dying off. You see that there's the changing of the guard. You see this wonderful woman of faith who had her own struggles passes away. Abraham is now ready to pass that torch to the next generation. And before he does, he goes and buys this plot of land to bury his wife in the promised land. He was a prophet of God. He was an overseer. He had the foresight of the greatest of prophets in the Bible to go buy this plot of land, knowing that someday the children of Israel would cross over into that promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey. It's a wonderful story there in Genesis 23 that I love to read. It's probably the number one story I've been reading this year, throughout this year as we're just getting started, because it's a fabulous story of how there's a changing of the guard, things are shifting, there's a momentum shift in our nation, and you see sort of a transference, like Moses to Joshua, you see that. Abraham and Sarah passing that torch to the next generation. They've held on. They've been people of faith. They've gone through struggles, but yet they've, you know, always attempted, even when they've created some messes with their own decision, to serve the Lord. And they're perfect examples that you don't have to always be perfect to, you know, stay connected to the Lord. And I believe this is a year where you see that changing of the guard. You see the old men are dreaming the dreams, the young men are seeing the visions, and I think you're going to see a combination of the old and the young working together in 2023, and that combination has the potential to release great revival in our world here in this year.
I noticed also in your book that talks about having a kingdom vision. I think that most of the body of Christ think that having a kingdom vision is only for leaders. In 1 Samuel 23, you talk about 1 Samuel 23 for 2023, have a kingdom vision. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great story in the Bible. Again, one of the ways that we're identifying the vision is by looking at the books of the Bible that have a chapter 23 in them. There's only 20 out of the 66 books who have a chapter 23. So I break it down and let the Old and the New Testament speak. Saul is basically after David to kill him in 1 Samuel 23, and God asked David to help him rescue a city while the enemy is attempted to kill him. So we have a decision to make here in 2023, and that's learning to help others when we're hurting ourselves. So here's Saul after David, and God is asking David to go and to do something to build the kingdom in spite of the fact, God is basically looking the other way. He's saying, don't focus in on what people are trying to do to you, because you cannot curse what God has already blessed. So don't focus in on what Saul's doing. Focus in on, you know, building the kingdom of God. Have a kingdom vision, because when you have kingdom vision, it provides kingdom provision for you in your life. We always want God to provide, but we forget, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of these other things that you're believing for, you're wanting, all your desires, they'll come to pass, but you got to have kingdom vision first. So I love the story there in 1 Samuel 23, because it's all about how God is telling David, don't focus it on your enemy, Don't focus in on the fact that he's trying to kill you. Don't focus in on the fact that you may be a little bit depressed and sad and all this, that, and the other. Focus in on building the kingdom, because the devil cannot get you. The devil cannot touch you when you are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. So focus in on the Lord. Focus in on the kingdom, and God will take care of everything else. Remember this. Your enemies were never designed to destroy you. Your enemies were designed to promote you. What would David be without a dad who sent him to the field? What would David be without a brother who criticized him because he had few sheep? What would David be without a king who said, oh, you can't do this, but if you are, do it my way? What would David be without Goliath who challenged him? David had more enemies than anybody that we know about in the Bible, and yet the enemies that he had promoted him. Don't look at your enemies as a bad thing. And by the way, don't trust anybody who say they don't have enemies, because all of us do. We all have somebody who doesn't like us, and that's fine. Who cares? Let's, again, focus in on the Lord. Let's not worry about those who don't like us, and let's use our enemies to promote us and never to destroy us.
That sounds good to me. Now, all of that was from 1 Samuel 23. Now we're going to move over to 2 Samuel 23, where David teaches us to appreciate our past. Let's hear something about that.
Yeah, it's a great chapter. It's learning to accept who you are, where you came from, what you've been through. You know, we talk about the five stages of grief, right, where we bargain, where we get depressed, where, you know, we're in denial, all of this stuff. But we forget to talk about the last stage of grief, which is acceptance. When you really accept, you know, who you are, when you accept the hurt that has come into your life, that's about appreciating where you come from. And too many times when we talk about our past, it's full of what? Bad memories, bad stuff, bad people, bad things. Well, appreciate where you've come from. Appreciate the parents that you had. I don't care if they were good or not. It doesn't matter if they were good or not. You are where you're at. You still have a pulse. You're still breathing. You're still alive. And we're always good at blaming others, blaming our family, blaming our past, blaming this one, blaming that one. Stop it. Just quit it. And understand you are who you are because you are a product of your past. You know, your past could have destroyed you. It could have defined you, but it has developed you into the person God wants you to be. And if you let your past destroy you, if you let your past define you, you're never going to be successful. So you have to learn how to get to the point where you allow the things of your past, every bad thing you've gone through, to develop you and be okay with who you are. The greatest freedom I've experienced in my life was getting free from caring about what people thought about me. For too many years, I cared about what people thought about me. The day I got free from that bondage was the day I was free to be me in Christ and let God change me and develop me into the person he wanted me to be. So I love 2 Samuel 23 because we don't talk about appreciating our past too much. We talk about, you know, putting our past behind us, not looking back. My goodness, man, there's people in your past that if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be alive today. There's things that you've gone through that have made you tougher, stronger, wiser, and you need to appreciate those things. If it's bad, if God turned your bad past around for good and you're still alive and you're using it to build the kingdom and destroy the kingdom of the enemy, what in the world are we doing? We need to embrace that, appreciate that, be thankful, quit, you know, lollygagging and being all depressed about where you came from, what you did. You didn't have a fair shot in life. You're this, that, and the other. No. Appreciate your past. Appreciate where you come from. Appreciate that you may not be all you want to be, all you should be, but you're not what you used to be. You've been changed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that, I'm embracing my – I'm not hiding from it. I'm not putting it in a closet. I'm not shutting it out. You know, I'm not, you know, always thankful for the things I went through, but you know what? Because I did go through that, I'm a better person. I'm a stronger person. I'm a more faithful person. I've learned from my mistakes. I've learned from the mistakes of others. And it's developed me and made me into the person that I am, stronger, better, wiser for the Lord than I ever would have been if I wouldn't have gone through those things in my past.
Well, you know what? I really appreciated that part of your book and how you just elaborated on it right there. And because I think my worst experience that I have ever gone through has been in the church since I've gotten saved. And so it has totally developed me. And it hasn't been through people in the pews. It's been through church leaders. And in coming through that, I have certainly been developed. I mean, in reading so much of your book about honesty is the best policy and what you talked about not what not to do to remain in honesty and an honest person, I don't think people really have make a conscious effort to be honest because they can get by with not being honest. They falsify their Facebook stuff and they're not true about who they really are, even on social media. And people are trying to deceive us all the time to give them money because of this and that. And they're not who they say they are. They don't even have their picture on their post. It's somebody else. So there's so many different ways that there's a counterfeit. And it has, what I've been through has sharpened my discernment and made me more sensitive to other people's feelings. And just like you said, we need to be helping one another and doing for one another and giving to one another. I had more money during COVID within those first couple of years than I've had in years. And I was really able to sort things out and find people that had lost jobs, that had just had babies, and God just led me to certain ones, and I had to dig for some of them because it wasn't people that I knew, and I wanted to be a blessing to them anonymously and let them see how God loves them and sent just what they needed, you know, to get by. And so this has really ministered to me because there's a lot that I do appreciate about the past, you know, because my dad rejected me terrible when I got saved. And I couldn't even tell him that I was a Republican because he would have rejected me more. But I was the one that led him to Christ eventually. Ha ha. You know, deal with that, Dad. You know, so that just really, really blessed me. And the other stuff was before I got saved, but even though he rejected me, God brought him to a place where he needed me. He needed to hear me out about Jesus. And he did. And he accepted Christ. He asked Christ to come into his life. And that was the best part of my life, my relationship ever with him, that God gave me that opportunity. And I just give him all the praise, honor, and glory. Now, at Job 23, it says, trust when you do not understand. And we all know the story of Job and all that he went through. My Lord, who wants to be in that position? But trust when you do not understand. I need some help with that. Help me out with that.
We all do, don't we? Well, here's the awesome thing about Job 23. Job is starting to get frustrated. Because there are actually 10 different assaults on Job from his friends after he lost all of those things in his life. So 10 going through, getting accused, getting blamed for all of this stuff. We're on the eighth one here in Job 23. And you can sense when you read Job 23, he's starting to get frustrated with his friends. He's coming to a time where he's done listening to them. And you know, all of the things you talk about appreciating your past, that's what Job is really doing. He's learning to put his trust in the Lord. When, you know, he's got a plan and God has another plan. He's He's learning how to adjust and to adapt to things that are not going his way. And so, Job, you can hear it in his voice almost as you read Job 23, how he's getting tired of, you know, his friends, and he's got to figure this out on his own because his friends aren't going to give him good, positive spiritual advice, right? So Job is getting revelation from the Lord, and God is speaking to Job, telling him, you know, one day this is going to end, but it's going to end in my timing, Job, not your timing. This is going to be good that you go through some of these things because it's going to develop you. Job is learning that God still loves him, that God still values him, even when he goes through all of the worst things that many of us could not even, handle in our own lives. That God's not forgotten him. There's a purpose in every crisis. Don't waste the problem. Don't waste the trial. So Job is having to learn how to trust the Lord when things aren't going his way. Many of us have things that don't go our way. We're in church. We're trying our best. We're paying our tithes. We're serving the Lord. We're doing everything that we know how to do in a right way, and yet we're still having problems, and we still got to learn how to trust the Lord when things don't go our way. Job had to learn that. We're going to have to learn that. It's not easy, but that's part of our development. That's part of how we grow in strength. You know, we want to grow in strength. Probably everybody says, Lord, help me be stronger, right? The problem is, you know, the way we want to become stronger and the way God wants us to become stronger are two different ways. And so it's just funny to me how we want it our way. You know, we don't want to have to go through certain stuff to get it. Just anoint me with oil, pray over me, have the church lay hands on me, you know, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, and I'll be all right. Well, boy, if it was that easy, you know, it would be wonderful, but it's not. And so Job here is giving his eighth response out of the 10 to his friends, and you see the Lord starting here to make him stronger. And I believe this is a year that if you've been weak, if you've been down, if you feel like you've been beaten up and ran over, that you're going to get your strength back, your song back, your dance back. This is a year when God is going to begin to replenish those things you either freely gave away or were taken or stolen from you. So this is a year when you're going to have that understanding from the Lord that, you know, God is renewing your strength. God is, you know, giving you the ability to trust him when you don't understand, when you don't like what's going on.
Amen. Hallelujah. Don't we all need that? And I think that builds our trust when we don't understand. That builds our trust in the Lord. Well, I was excited to find out about the gift of the Spirit for this year. Now, because in your book you write that the gift of healing is the gift of 2023, does that mean that healings are going to be come to pass in greater measure this year?
Here's the thing. We've been going, 19 days here in 2023. I've heard more sickness, more cancer, more disease, more name things come out in 19 days of this year than I have in almost all my life. People that I know are getting sick. They're getting diagnoses from the doctor that is devastating and destructive. And I asked the Lord, I said, man, Lord, why? And he said, because I am going to release great healing to my people. They're not going to die. They're going to be okay. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. There's no expiration date on their feet. God is going to release healing, both physical, spiritual, financial, marital, professional, relational, in every way, in every realm. This is going to be a year of healing. And I love the fact that, you know, in the Bible, even one of the 23s, you know, there's 31,102 verses in the Bible. Only five of them mention the number 23. One of the mentions of the number 23 is where we read about the land of Gilead or the tree that is in Gilead. Well, you know that the tree that was in Gilead was a tree that you could extract an ointment out of that could release and bring healing into people's lives. And I believe that this is such a year of healing where you're going to see God begin to bring back together what has been separated. You're going to see God begin to heal that which the devil tried to destroy. It is a year of healing The Bible talks about it in 1 Chronicles 2:22. It talks about the 23 cities in the land of Gilead and how the Lord is going to just, in my opinion, release great healing in every area of our life. So if you're sick, if you're not feeling well, if you feel like, you know, you're weak and just need to be renewed or have a reset in your life, this is the year when God is going to do that. I believe healing is being released right now. And if there's somebody sick that's listening to this, I release the power of healing into your life in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And declare that by his stripes you're already healed. You're
yes.
already healed in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. And we declare that healing power over your life
I
right
receive
now.
My healing in Jesus' name. Receive your healing right now. Those that have dialed in and those that are streamed in, receive your healing right now in Jesus' name. That's powerful. Somebody wants to ask a question. The last four digits of your number are 1151. You have a question. What's your first name?
James.
Do you have a question, James?
Actually, not a question. I just wanted to respond to what he was talking about revelation and God revealing, because this program is not godly, of course, as we know. And I was wondering if anybody knew about...
What program?
The target individual program?
Oh, we're not talking about targeting tonight.
I got you, but 117th Congress first session, H.R. 4914... is actually the unveiling of the Havana Response Act, which talks about directed pulse radio frequency or directed pulse microwave surveillance and holding them accountable, going through Congress right now.
Yes.
Around the world. Yeah. And it's 20 years in prison and $1 million fine. I was just wondering if anybody knew about that. It's actually going through Congress.
I am having a broadcast in February that would be about some of that. So however you found out about this tonight, I'll be putting it also on social media about a broadcast on that in February with some other TIs.
Okay. This is I got this from PAX International. Is this a targeted individual community talk?
Not tonight. It isn't. No, I have my friend on that's an author of a book that announces biblical situations and biblical occurrences in our lives for 2023.
Oh, okay.
So, but
gotcha.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with PAC and all of that, and I'm grateful that you called, and I want you to stay on the line.
Oh, is this a completely different call? This is not part of PAC or
yeah,
anything
this,
like that? Really?
I know them, yes. I had some of them on some of my targeted programs, yes.
Thursday, Gatekeepers Ministry International Thursday night,
right.
Christian blog, talk radio podcast. Call in,
right,
moderator,
but not every Thursday.
Linda. Okay.
That's me.
Oh, okay.
But we don't talk about targeted, right? That's okay. That's fine.
Is the community listening tonight not familiar with the targeting program? Is this a
Some of them are. Some of them are. But this is not the night for that. So I'd like to invite you to our February. We don't have a date yet, but I'd like to get back to the book. So hang around so you can be blessed by what we're about to bring up.
I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. So I that's why I wrote this down. I printed it out. And what he was talking about with Job, I read that often because they really, really, you know, get me pretty bad. And
yeah.
And, you know, there's a couple things I got to remember. I got to remember what Job went through and then, you know, then not blame God. And then also I'm pretty familiar with a lot of things they use this program for against even youth, you know, even
yeah.
people 5 years old and up and what they do to them. And so I
yeah.
say to myself that if they're willing to do that to them, then keep going because they have no qualm on what they do at my age, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, James, I'm glad you called, and stay on with us. Maybe you'll hear something else that you might want to make a comment about, okay?
Okay. Can I say one thing, though, to you? Are you familiar with the Army report?
Totally.
Declassified?
Yes. Yep.
The Army report declassified about the microwave auditory effect, declassified December 13, 2006? Oh, you know about that,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So you know
okay.
that it exists and its capacity
yes.
for these people to do that and cause the mass
yes.
shootings that we're going through. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, you hold tight. Thanks for calling in, James.
Tight. Well, I'm going to stay here and listen.
Okay, pass the bill. In Acts 23... In Acts 23, you shared with us something about truth and attacks against the truth. And I highlighted so much, but I want you to bring that out to us.
Yeah, in this year, I think we're going to see an attack against the truth. Acts 23 is really where Paul is, you know, declaring the truth of God and his word, and he's doing it so adamantly that the people are trying to kill him. The truth and truth declares are under attack this year. So get ready, man. I mean, if you are out there trying to tell the truth, some people may think you're crazy, you lost your mind. You know, they may think, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And the truth is really under attack. And so what I do is I define for you what is truth. What is truth? It's God's commands. It's God's ways. It's God's son. It's God's word. We need to walk in the truth, listen to the truth, speak the truth. I mentioned earlier, I got a book coming out in March about the lies about the truth about the lies. And it's a biblical book based upon, you know, the lies that the enemy tells us, the truth that we need to walk in order to be successful. And I think this is a year when you're going to see people who are going to be attacked because they're simply walking in, speaking out, and standing up for the truth. And the truth isn't always accepted. You know, we want the truth. We want honesty. But everybody isn't like us. Sometimes people can't handle the truth. One of my favorite movies is A Few Good Men, you know, and I love the exchange at the end of the movie between Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise where they're going back and forth about the truth, and Jack Nicholson says, you can't handle the truth. Well, a lot of times that's the way our world is. You know, we say we want the truth, but really we can't handle the truth. The truth of God's word sometimes, you know, when it's put in our face and we're confronted with it is something that, you know, we're always not prepared to handle. And I think you're going to see people who speak the truth, declare the truth, people like yourself, myself, others like us who are out there sharing the truth of the word of God, exposing the lies of the enemy. I think, you know, there's going to be a certain level of attack that we're going to be under for talking about things that maybe other people don't want to talk about and declaring the truth about stuff that people don't even know or don't want the truth to be told about
mm-hmm.
here in 2023.
Yeah, I know that the caller that I was just talking to, James, I know his situation and a lot of people's situation like that. And the truth about it is what they don't want to be heard. They don't want to hear the truth about it. And there's so many people that are in the church that know the truth about all of this. But anyway, I took an interest in that because my pastor from Philadelphia, he used to always say to me, I don't know anybody that's as honest as you, you know, that's so truthful with everything. And he just knew me like that growing up in the church, and he just marveled at it. And I mean, I don't have any problem telling you the truth about myself. The problem is that when people lie about people's life or their past or their history, and it's believed by leaders in the church that that frown on you because they're believing a lie, and they never communicate with you to really get the truth, but they pass around the lie that they believe is the truth about you. That's a very, very hurtful thing, and that's some of what I've been through the church, that the Lord has had me fly above it like an eagle, you know, and has developed me in that and given me understanding about where some leadership is and where they're not. And I think because I've even gotten some truth to some of them, which only through the Holy Spirit would they know that I am telling the truth or that anyone else is telling the truth. And so this is where I've developed at, and understanding that, or having a hard time understanding that people that I believe are filled with the Holy Spirit can't see the truth, or have responded better to an untruth or a lie than they have to truth. And so I really got kind of interested and encouraged reading that part of your book. And so I've come to, this is what I wanted to say. When I read that canvas is the color of 2023, I didn't even look at canvas as being a color. But you talked about canvas and us writing and rewriting our story. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, canvas is something, you know, that I believe God is giving us to sort of start the year out on the right foot with a blank slate. So God has given us the ability to be able to write your own story. You know, I believe so many times we have the opportunity to dictate our destiny through our decisions. And so we're not often told that, but your decisions, whether you like it or whether you want it to or not, often decide your destiny. So you have to make the right decisions. I think as we begin this year, as we start this year up on the right track, we got to be willing to let some things go. We got to be willing to, you know, not allow things to hinder us like they may have in the past. And we got to sort of clean our slate. We got to walk in forgiveness. We got to let some people go, let some stuff, you know, be, you know, put behind us, and allow God to give us a blank slate. Give us that blank canvas. You write your own story. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, the last chapter of your book has not been written. So if you've had seven chapters that are bad, thank God there's still an eighth chapter. You can write the best chapter of your life, and you can do it here in 2023. So I believe that this could be the best year of your life. But you're the one who determines that more so than anybody else. So have a blank slate. Quit allowing your past to dictate your future, and go into this thing cleanly, and allow the Lord to allow you to sort of write and rewrite your year. You know, don't let people tell you what they want for you. You declare what you want for yourself. Every year we hand out a sheet, we put it on our website, and we have people make goals in every area: spiritual goals, financial goals, marital goals, relational goals, professional goals, emotional goals, all of that stuff. Well, we do that because, you know, we talk about resolutions every year. Did you make New Year's resolutions? Well, what is a resolution? A resolution is a solution that's provided to you to fix a problem. Whatever problem you have can be fixed, but you can't always do it the way everybody has done it. So start your year out right. Have the blank canvas. Let God put the pen in your hand and then prophetically begin to write and declare things out of your mouth from God's word that you're believing for in your life, and know that you can have whatever you want to have. You can be whoever you want to be. You can be free to be who God wanted you to be in 2023, but you got to let some things go. Start with the blank canvas. Quit pointing the finger and say, God, let it begin here. Let it begin now, and let it begin with me. And then let him write the words on the canvas to dictate how good your 2023 can really be.
Well, you know, there's so much more in the book about regions and your city, your state, your birthday. Is there anybody that has dialed in who has a birthday on the 23rd of any month? If you have, press 1 so we could talk to you. Okay, nobody. And if you're streaming and you want to talk, remember that you need to put the volume down on the streaming on your computer and dial 929-477-2442, and you can ask a question. Right here I'm looking at where you talk about Esther. And it says, the story of Esther is a lesson to us of how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Let God use you to do the extraordinary as God does the impossible in 2023. Blessing follows those faithful to God. So you talk about the scripture in Esther 8, verse 9. And so you break down some things from the scripture. Can you share them with us right now?
Yeah, it's obviously a great story, famous story in the Bible. Esther's a wonderful woman for us to sort of study and to look and see how, you know, God can release blessings and give you divine connections and totally cause the quality of your life to change in a moment, in an instant. And we forget, you know, some of the things, you know, about Esther. She didn't have a perfect childhood. She was an orphan. There was a lot of things that went wrong for her, yet God's hand was upon her. Everything may not be going for you, you know, right for you in your life, but trust the Lord that he is in charge. He is in control. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Esther is a wonderful woman to really get to know in the Bible. It's a wonderful story of deliverance. It's a wonderful story of blessing. And how, you know, when we begin to really understand these chapters, these verses, these scriptures, it really helps us to define a vision for the year. Again, without a vision, the people perish. This is a year of blessing. If God blessed Esther, God can bless you. If God provided a way for her to have her entire life changed and for blessing to flow into her life, God can do it for you. God is no respecter of persons. And so I really want this book to sort of be an encouragement to people. No matter where they're at, where they come from, how bad things have been, how they've maybe tried to mess it up in their own life intentionally or unintentionally, you can't mess it up enough to get away from the grace of God. God loves you. He is willing to forgive you. And God can still bring something good out of something bad. And so I love the story of Esther. It's a wonderful story where, you know, we can see in the scripture, Esther chapter 8, verse 9 talks about the number 23. And so it's about the blessing of the Lord and how this is a year of blessing. The first thing God did in relationship to man was bless him. If God, you know, he's not some, you know, good God on bad days, some days and bad God and bad God on other days. He's a good God, and he's a good God all the time. And so he wants to bless you, but you got to put yourself in a position to receive that commanded blessing of God that goes along and that goes hand in hand with our obedience to the Lord.
Okay. I don't talk about politics much, but there's a person in politics that I like that you mentioned in your book, and I haven't heard a lot about her lately, and that's Kamala Harris. Why is she in your book about a to watch during this year?
Well, whenever God gives them to people, I don't know why he gives them to me. You know, okay. We can sort of, you know, guess, and, you know, she's in a very you know, influential position. In a blink of an eye, in a moment, she can go from being the vice president to the president. Most people don't even know we've already had a black woman president last year when President Biden had undergone a procedure, they actually had a transfer of power. And for a moment, a short time, she was actually, you know, had the powers of the president endued upon her. And so we don't know why. We don't know if it's bad or good. We don't know all these people, how they're going to somehow be related or connected to the number 23. But I just go to the Lord. He shares with me these people. And we need to pray for our politicians. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. It really doesn't. I know our country's more divided now than ever before. God doesn't give you an option to just pray for the party you like. God tells us to pray for the politicians, for those who are in authority. So you ought to be praying for the president. I don't care if you voted for him or not. It makes zero difference. You're supposed to pray for the president. Don't sabotage the president. Our nation is a mess. We look at our politicians. What, just a couple weeks ago, it takes 15 votes for us to get a Speaker of the House or a shepherd of the House, right? So when we talk about a shepherd, that was the first chance we had at the beginning of the year. 15 different votes to get a Speaker of the House, and that comes from the party that is in charge. That's the majority party. And so we need to pray for our politicians. I don't care if they're president, vice president, if they're Senate, House of Representatives, if they're your mayor, local politicians. We need to pray for people in power. You really don't know people until you give them a little power. And when they get a little power, boy, they can change. We see a congressman from New York who lied probably – one of the main reasons he got elected is because people bought into his lies. And so it's just crazy that, you know, we see all this division in our world, and God is commanding us to pray for our politicians. She's obviously one of the most powerful politicians in the United States of America, and we need to be lifting them up, lifting up their family. Do we even know their spouse's names? Are we even calling their names out to the Lord? It's not an option, guys. This is a commandment of the Lord to pray for those in authority. Whether you voted for them or not, they're in a position of authority because God put them there. And I know people hate that. People just, well, you know, you talk about politics, you stir up a lot of, you know, hornet's nests, right? But the bottom line is they're there because God has them there for a reason. And you may not like the president. You may not like the vice president. Well, hold on. You'll like him next time, or you won't like him next time, or whatever it is. But our responsibility as Christians is to always pray and to always seek for God's best in their life, period. No questions asked.
Amen. Okay, so there's a lot more in your book that I would like to ask about, but I'm going to kind of round this up. And this concerns me majorly in the church. You talk about in Matthew 23 is about hypocrisy, and you say reject hypocrisy. And I think hypocrisy is so accepted in the church and very, very much watered down. Let me hear your take on that.
Well, Matthew 23, there's only three chapter 23s in the New Testament, books of the Bible that have a chapter 23. Matthew 23 is one of them. 99.9% of all the words spoken in Matthew 23 are in red. They're from Jesus. It's just the very first verse that identifies what's going on that's not in red. And what Jesus is doing is he's calling out the Pharisees, the scribes, and he's calling them hypocrites because they're, you know, two-faced. They're praying long prayers. They're doing things to be seen by men. They're actors. They're not, you know, holding on with conviction to their beliefs. They're you know, easily, you know, their minds can be changed. They expect something of others that they're not willing to give themselves. And so he gives you a laundry list of 10 different sins, basically, in Matthew 23 that, you know, we need to avoid in our lives. We need to be people that are real and genuine. I think the world, the number one thing that the world is looking for is genuine, authentic, real people. They do not want fakes. They do not want two-faced people. They have enough of that in the world. Why would they ever want to go to church and experience that there as well? So we have to be people who are okay in our own skin, okay with who we are, okay with who God has created us, and let God change us as we yield to the Lord in and on a daily basis. And so the hypocrisy in the church where we're pointing the finger, preaching the word, telling everybody what to do, we can't live it ourselves, has got to stop. I think if there's people that are doing that, this is a year they're going to be exposed. It's a year when, you know, God is going to shed the light that on things that are being done in darkness. So if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing and thinking that you've been getting away with it for a long time and thinking that you can continue to get away with it just because you ain't been caught up to this point, I got news for you. This is a year when God is going to expose, put the light on that darkness, shine the light on those things you've been unwilling to deal with, and you continue to do. And if you do not humble yourself, this is a prophetic word. If you do not humble yourself in the mighty hand of God, you will be humiliated. God loves you enough. You're going to be humbled one way or another. If you do it, it doesn't always have to involve humiliation. But when God humbles people, just look in the Word. I mean, the Word of God, man, every time he humbled somebody, it had to do with humiliation. Somebody got humiliated because they weren't willing to do what they should have did on their own. God said, well, I love you enough to, you know, to not allow you to continue this bad behavior and to continue these bad actions. So God humiliated them to get them to humble themselves. So it's your choice. Humble yourself or let God humble you. If God humbles you, it always, always includes humiliation. So make the choice to not be a hypocrite, not be an actor, not be a fake, not be some two-faced carnal Christian, and decide in your heart, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be authentic. I may not always be accepted by everybody because I'm going to be truthful and honest about who I am and where I'm at in my life, and that's okay. Everybody isn't going to accept you. You're not everybody's reward. You're somebody's reward, but you're not everybody's reward. There's probably people listening tonight, and they're thinking, man, they don't like me. That's okay. I'm not going to lose sleep. Just because you like me doesn't mean I'm going to have a better night's sleep. I do what I do because it's the Lord. I do what I do because it's the right thing to do. And so you cannot, you know, try to be something you're not. I always tell people, be a voice and not an echo. Be the best you instead of the best copy of somebody else.
Speaking of humility, in Isaiah 23, you have Isaiah 23 here in your book, and it's about walk in humility. So tell us a little bit about chapter 23 about humility and walking in humility, what we can learn
Isaiah
from this chapter.
23 is another chapter that we talk about in the book. It's interesting because it really talks about destruction and restoration of the city of Tyre in the Bible. And so when you look at Tyre, when you study it out, because every name, every place, every city, every number, every color is important. And so Tyre was an influential city, but it was good and bad. So it was sort of like a harbor city for ships. When they went out to sea, you know, they would refuel, different things like that, a commercial city that had a lot of products. They shipped out a lot of important materials to other places in the world. And, you know, they were prominent in many ways. And so God promised that the city of Tyre would be destroyed because of its pride. So the number one thing that they were prideful. They thought they were the best city in the world. It's okay to love your city, but, you know, temper your expectations a little bit. You know, don't think of yourself more highly, the Bible says, than you should. So the Lord declared after 70 years, think about this, 70 years of being penalized by allowing, you know, just total destruction to occur, God said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bring restoration. If, you know, after 70 years, which is almost two full generations, you haven't learned the lesson of humility, then you know what? We're going to go through this process again, I guess. And so, but he was giving him another chance. He was giving him an opportunity. No matter who you are, God is, he loves you. He's going to forgive you. When you do the right thing, I promise you, you're always going to be better off. So, you know, just humble yourself in the eyes of God. You don't want to have something bad happen and then wait 70 years to get restoration. You know, maybe a whole new cycle of people, a whole new generation. Your kids end up, you know, receiving stuff that you should have received, but because you walked in pride, you didn't. And so it's a great little story in the Bible. I encourage people to read. He's one of the major prophets of the Bible. Isaiah didn't mince words. Most of Isaiah and the whole entire book is a book where, you know, he's, you know, declaring judgment upon people. There's destruction coming upon them because of sin. There's consequences that are falling upon them because they're not doing right. And here's a little glimmer of hope in Isaiah 23 where the Lord is sort of declaring the opportunity for restoration is available as the people walk in humility and stay connected to the Lord.
Wow. Well, if there's anyone that wants to say something, make a comment or ask a question, now's the time before we round this up. You can press 1 and I'll open your mic and you can share what's on your heart. Here we are. Someone whose number, the last 4 digits in your number is 5503. What's your first name?
Iris.
Oh, hi, Iris. You have a question or a comment? Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I would do both. I heard, you know, the whole program, and it's definitely, I really love the way it provided everything. It's like A to Z. The whole counsel of the word is in the book, like, you know, giving the encouragement and counseling and all correction and everything that the Lord desires his church to be. So it adds up everything, and which is very encouraging to hear that. And plus the straightforward, to the point message, not the lukewarm and cookie cutter message. It's really straightforward for what the heart of the Lord says. So that's definitely very encouraging, and it's a very essential thing I think we'd need in 2023 for the church to be. So that's definitely my, you know, listening to everything, I felt very strong about that. So great job. It's really a very good work of God, you know. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And that's the reason we put it out there, because we want something different. You know, many people have heard of the Farmer's Almanac. This is the spiritual equivalent. We call it the Prophetic Almanac. And what we're doing is we're not really, you know, trying to tell you what God is saying. We're just letting God say what he wants to say. And so we look at the, you know, chapter and verses 2023. We look at the times the number 23 is mentioned in the Bible. We look at the chapter 23 and just let God speak to us. And so we're excited that this year Walmart has picked up our book. So you can go to walmart.com. You could go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, download it on ebook Kindle. You can go to eBay, pastorbilljenkins.org. It's only 110 pages, but it's a great book. People tell me once they start to read it, they don't want to put it down. And we do this every year to release a vision so you can know what to expect of God and what God expects of you. So I pray that you go get a copy of the book. You can have it on your phone tonight. You can have it on your iPad tonight. Just go to ebook Kindle, download it there, and you can have it, or you can order it. Go to pastorbilljenkins.org. I've written 17 different books. We have podcast programs, plus I have A Minute That Matters every single day. It's a little one-minute video devotional, but it's all available, pastorbilljenkins.org. You can go check out all the materials we have available. If you like this, there's tons more there that you can get and enjoy.
I will look into that, definitely. And a question is, one more is like, yeah, there's a lot of counseling and word for the body of Christ and for his people. And how about there are two sides of the world today, like, you know, as if, like, as we read in the book of Zephaniah, the Bible talks about, like, the baskets, you know, the figs, good are really good and the evil are really evil, bad figs, figs and good figs. So we are really looking in 2023 and onwards, that huge contrast between light and darkness, and that contrast is getting more vibrant, it's becoming more prominent as we move further. So do you have any word, anything about the rest of the world who is more drawing towards the darkness? God has a word to bring them back to himself. And how?
Well, here's the thing. You know, we read in the Bible by God separating the wheat from the chaff, and I think this is going to be a year where the cold are going to get colder and the hot are going to get hotter. And we've declared this to be the year of the shepherd, and the reason it's the shepherd is because the animal of the year is the sheep. Well, think about you know, the word sheep is mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. But what goes along with sheep? Usually you see sheep, goats, and wolves. Well, what God wants to do is shear the sheep, milk the goats, and, you know, really run all or milk the goats and then destroy the wolves. The wolves are out there to try to get us, right? There's wolves in sheep's clothing. And so, you see the sheep and the goats are often contrasted in the Bible. And so I think that things are going to be clear. God's going to give you discernment. How are we going to do that? Through discernment that only God can give us. And so I believe God is going to, through the power of prayer, through the understanding of the Word of God, give us such a greater level of discernment to not just know the right from the wrong, but to know the who, the where, the when, the why, and the how of things that is going on around us. And so I think that God is going to give greater clarity to the sheep. He's going to reveal the difference between the sheep, the goats, and the wolves, just like he is separating the wheat and the chaff. This is going to be a year where, you know, by the end of this year, things are going to be so much clearer. They're going to be so much more well-defined. You're going to have so much greater discernment to be able to figure out what is God, what is not of God, because I think as, you know, the hot get hotter and the cold get colder, I think that's something that we have to have from the Lord in order for us to be successful.
Cool.
Praise God. Iris, did you have something else you wanted to share?
No, that's about it.
Well, thank you. Don't you have a son in his 20s?
Yes. And then my daughter, both of them are in their 20s, yes.
Okay. Well, they might be part of changing of the guard that we talked about. Quite a lot of callers that have children that are young adults, and that was a powerful word right there about the changing of the guard. So, Pastor Bill,
let me say this, if you don't mind. In 2 Kings 23:31, the Bible talks about how Joaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. And so it's a word that you're not very familiar with, but it's called vicenarian. Now, just ask Siri. You know how we ask our phone, hey, Siri, what a vicenarian is. Even go to Webster's Dictionary and look up the word vicenarian. You will not find it. A vicenarian is someone who is in their 20s. And if you get the book, that's why I'm encouraging you to get this book. I have two kids who are in their 20s, 22 and 20, another boy who is 18. And this is the year of the vicenarian, or this is the year of people between 20 and 29 to really be used of the Lord to really bring that changing of the guard to pass. And so it's an uncommon word. We don't hear that word vicenarian, but it is somebody in their 20s, 20 to 29, and I believe God is going to use those people, that group of people, that sort of Z generation, who are kids of the X generation, to begin to rise to the top in 2023. Look for people in their 20s to have the most successful year and decade that they'll ever have starting in 2023. Just watch it. Look for people in their 20s. Amen. Look what's going to go on. Look what's going to happen. You're going to see. If you have a kid in your 20s, you got to get a copy of this book, because it's a great way to sort of encourage those younger people, those college students, those people in their 20s to really believe God. And I give you biblical proof of how I believe that God is going to use them to really bring great change about in our world this year.
Amazing. Thanks for sharing. I will definitely get my copy. Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I have some 20-year-old kids in my family, too. I call them kids. To me, they're kids. But praise God. It's fun. I'm in the high school every day. And the disrespect that some students exhibit to administrators and even teachers is horrendous. On the other hand, in the last 2 years of me being in the school systems, I have prayed for some students that started out like total villains. I have put their name before the Lord and consistently prayed for them. And within months, I've seen a 360 turn. Two girls I didn't even know were in my classroom after I prayed for them for a couple months until I had taken attendance and called their names out. And one of them made sure the whole classroom was empty before she left the classroom, and she was sitting in the back where she could have left the classroom out the back door. But she walked up to the front where I was sitting at my desk, and before she left out the room, she said, "I love you." And I said, "I love you too." And that was one of two girls that was on my prayer list. So we need to be praying in these schools. This 6-year-old kid that shot this teacher, how does that get into a mind of such a young kid? That is totally demonic. There's so much prayer that needs to take place in the schools, on the property, and I don't think that Christian kids, born-again young people, know that they can pray on public school grounds. They can pray during recess. They can pray during lunch. They just can't pray in the classroom because they would consider it a distraction. But they can pray on the property. And I think more born-again believer young people need to know that. They know that in college campuses because they pray on the campus. But they don't know that in high school and middle school where prayer is desperately needed. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Bill, it was wonderful sharing these last 2 hours with you. It really was. I'm excited. I've learned a lot. I'm moving forward. I really learned a lot from this book. I've highlighted so much. I'm going back and read and remember what you said. I'm going to listen to this broadcast again. Within the next 10 or 15 minutes after we end the broadcast, it will be on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And you can listen to the broadcast at any time on the website. So, Pastor Bill, is there anything else you'd like to say before we close?
Just that I always love the time with you. Love your heart. Appreciate the callers tonight. Please go to Walmart.com. Go to Amazon. Download it on eBook Kindle. Go to eBay. It's real simple, guys. PastorBillJenkins.org. Get your copy of this book. 110 pages filled with inspiration, information, and divine revelation. This is a book that's going to sort of be like a GPS to help you throughout this year. You don't have to be in the dark when it comes to the things that God wants to reveal. And so it's laid out in the book. We try to do it simple and easy. So please, I can't encourage people enough. Go to PastorBillJenkins.org. Get a copy of this book, all 17 of my books. Listen to the podcast we have available there. And then connect with me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube to get my Minute That Matters. If you don't know how to find me on those individual websites, then go to PastorBillJenkins.org. Hit the little icon, and it'll take you right there every day, Monday through Friday. We give you a little one-minute video devotional just to encourage you, help you to start your day, get through your day, or end your day. So it's a great way to stay connected to us and what we're trying to do to build the kingdom of God here in 2023.
I love the Minute That Matters, and I usually share it. I really do. I really like it. So I get that on Facebook, and Pastor Bill's church is Destiny Land, correct? Christian
yes,
Center?
Destiny Land Christian Center, yeah, Rancho Cucamonga,
okay.
California.
So that's on Facebook as well, and you have a Facebook page. Do you have an author page on Facebook?
I have no idea. Probably. We have a team of people that work together to do the stuff that we do.
Okay.
So You know,
okay.
I do my job, and they do all the other promoting and things. So I don't know. If I don't, I'll probably have one by tomorrow morning. So, you know, they're that good. So I just appreciate
Praise
all
God.
The people who believe in the ministry, believe in what we're doing, and just trying to get this word out to help as many people as we can. So thank you so much.
Well, we're going to close tonight. Thank you, Pastor Bill. And I just want to say these last words. Only what you do for Christ will last. Thank you for joining us. Have a blessed night.